vacuum on at 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. Vacuum on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
Here, we got a roll program.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's Grant Cameron, and this is part two of a PowerPoint presentation on the Canadian UFO disclosure, which I think may be coming. Yesterday, Desta and I were doing part one, and we had a power outage. So just to review what was going on yesterday, I showed documents that relate to the fact that the Canadian government has done a presentation, an investigation back in the 1950s on UFOs, and they came to the conclusion that flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States. Mental phenomena is involved, and the Canadians dealt with downed hardware material. Today, I want to go a little bit about the upcoming Canadian government disclosure report that's going to be coming out in the spring of next year, and about a meeting that we had last year that related to a bunch of politicians in Canada who were going to come public. And this all goes back to an MP out of Manitoba by the name of Larry McGuire, who became interested in UFOs and then got some MPs on board and started to brief them and wanted to find out what was going on in the United States with the Congress and the disclosure rumors that were going on down there. I contacted his assistant, and what happened was we set up a meeting. They figured it would be a good idea. I proposed that we do another, what's called a citizens hearing, where we get expert witnesses to sit at a table and then political people to ask questions. In 2013, it was done in the United States with former congressmen and senators, and worked out very well. And what we decided I wanted to do was do it exactly the same way, get top experts like Chris Mellon, Gary Nolan, Lou Elizondo, and people sit on a panel. And then these MPs who wanted to sort of come forward would ask questions. And in the meantime, the science advisor to the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, would be watching. She wanted to do a report on UFOs, and this would provide her cover to say the public wants this done and we should do a report. Now, the whole Canadian initiative actually got going with Dave Scott, who's a reporter and the host of the nightly radio show, Spaced Out Radio. He began this whole process trying to get disclosure. He discovered that Larry McGuire was following his Twitter account. And so he started to follow Larry McGuire and found out that Larry McGuire was interested in UFOs. And so Dave put an initiative forward where Canadian politicians should do disclosure. They should promote this disclosure initiative and get things going. And he called me into the situation later on, and I'd already had some contact with Larry McGuire because my friend Mark Olson had asked me to provide material for two MPs. One was Larry McGuire, and one was the defense critic for the Conservative Party, because the Conservatives aren't in government. The Liberal Party runs the government. So Larry McGuire is in the opposition, and they have a person sitting as a critic to the defense. So I sent this material, and I guess McGuire may have reviewed some of this material as to what happened in Canada in the 1950s regarding UFOs. And that's when I proposed this meeting, and the Larry McGuire's assistant was in favor of this, and we started to set up this meeting. Now, one of the things we learned in the meeting relates to what's going on in the United States now. This has been made public by Dave Scott, and that is there's a guy by the name of David Grush who's now come forward. He's an intelligence officer in the United States, former intelligence officer, and is also a real estate agent now in Colorado Springs. You can see a house here that he's listed his name. And he came forward and stated that the according to his investigation, he was part of this UFO investigation panel task force. He discovered that UFO information was being withheld from Congress, that the elements of the American government have hardware and bodies, and he went public. Now, during our meeting last year, this is in August last year, where we were going to do this citizens' hearing thing. His name was actually brought up. He was described as David from Colorado Springs, and only when he went public about a month ago did I realize this is the same guy. Now, David Grush, according to Dave Scott, had two encounters with the Canadian government. Now, I'm sure these were phone calls. I'm sure they didn't fly him up, but you never know. But there was two encounters. So the Canadians are very familiar with this top whistleblower now in the United States, because they were basically digging in the United States, talking to various people. And what happened was Larry McGuire had conversations with Chris Mellon. He had Chris conversations with Lou Elizondo, and he had conversations with Hal Puthoff. And these are some of the experts that we wanted to call in to sit on this panel. And so they were digging around trying to find this material, and they became interested in Grush. And Grush actually gave information to the Canadian government. Now, I have filed, as I'll point out, I've filed on all these different stories with the Canadian government, with the various departments, whether it's Privy Council, which is the Prime Minister's office, or whether it's the Defense Department, or wherever it is, for documents to try to back up these documents. We know the stories, but we are looking for the documents. And on the one particular document that deals with the scientific investigation, I received a reply, as I'll point out, that they want 150 days to answer the reply, that they've gone into consultation, whatever that means. Now, Nicole Sakic helped me set up this panel. So this was August of last year. The only condition that the MPs had was that it would happen before the Conservative Party gathering, where they were going to pick a new leader in September. And it was all set up to go, and it all fell apart. Now, the people that were going to be on the committee were Lou Elizondo, Avi Loeb, Robert Hastings, the expert on nuclear weapons and UFOs, was asked to be on. He could not be on because of health reasons, but he provided a written testimony for these 10 MPs. Gary Nolan was going to be brought on, Chris Mellon, and then later on, there's a spokesman, Sean Cahill, who was involved in the Nimitz sightings in 2004, was I guess appointed by Lou Elizondo to be a representative, and he was basically the spokesman that we were dealing with. Now, this is the letter that has gotten a lot of play in the U.S. media now. This is a March 22nd, 2023 letter from Larry McGuire, and he sends it through to the Defense Research and Development Canada, to the Department of Defense. And basically he's giving them a heads up. Now, the way the Americans have played this thing is that this Research and Development Canada organization is in possession of recovered UAP material. Now, the thing with that is that in this document, you can see, is it on this page? Here it is. As Minister of National Defense, he's writing this letter to the Minister of National Defense. This is Larry McGuire. He's just giving him a heads up. He's saying, as Minister of National Defense, you may not be aware, Defense Research and Development Canada has participated in efforts to analyze UAP, which is publicly traceable to circa 1950. Now, the question is, why is he using the date 1950 rather than 1947 with the Roswell crash? And the key reason for that is that before this organization was known as the Defense Research Board in Canada, and it was the Weapons Research Division of the Canadian Department of Defense. And it was involved with Wilbert Smith that I discussed in part one. Wilbert Smith was using them, and the metallurgist who actually worked on the crash material, I interviewed a couple of times. He lived near me here in Manitoba. And I asked him at one point, Art, I said, how much metal did you guys handle? And he said, tons of it. And he actually stated that he may have handled the Roswell piece. When I showed him the description of the Roswell piece, he said, I'm not sure for sure, but we may even have handled that piece. Now, he did the metal stuff. So the agency that McGuire is giving the heads up to the Department of Defense is an agency that was involved right from the word go. And the Americans are making a big thing out of this, but it's quite clear that he's just giving them a heads up about what has happened in the past. And this is going to come back to haunt the Canadians, this all the stuff that happened in the 1950s. But he wasn't basically saying that we want to get into the threat narrative and stuff like that. He was just basically digging around, trying to go to different agencies to find out who's collecting material on UFOs inside Canada. So this letter gets written, and as you can see, it's a reply. So I have actually asked for these documents because there's a letter from the Department of Defense to Larry McGuire. So because he's replying to a letter that was sent to him. And he copies all these people. He copies Major General Michael Wright. And Mona Nemmer, he copies. Now, she's the science advisor to the prime minister, and she's the key figure who is actually in quite a box right now, because I don't think she really realized what she got herself into when she volunteered to do this public report on UFOs for the Canadian people. McGuire had been digging around. This is a very interesting document. When I had conversation with them, we were talking about the Canadian ambassador to the United States being briefed on UFOs. And there was some discussion that they didn't think they could get this material. And I said that they should file a minister inquiry. And you can see that McGuire actually did that. So what it is, if you're in a member of the opposition party, you can file an inquiry with the governing party, the governing government, and they have to answer it. So he puts in a request, and you can see that they've gathered an awful lot of material as to what's been going on in the past. Here's his question to the, I guess, the Minister of National Defense. With regards to briefing the Canadian government and military officials have received from the United Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force of the United States Office of Navy Intelligence since 2016. And then he says, on what dates did the Canadian embassy staff receive briefings from the former head of UAPTF, the UAP task force, John Stratton? Now, John Stratton, for people who didn't know, he ran that task force. He was also very famously involved in the Skinwalker Ranch. For anybody who's read the Skinwalker Ranch story, the three military people who are there, who basically get this message, leave, you are not welcome, and are so frightened they leave the Skinwalker Ranch, and they take this hitchhiker thing home. If you take a look at, I think Axelrod is the name is used in the book, that's John Stratton. So he's the head of the UAPTF, and he's briefing the Canadians, and McGuire knows it. So he's asking, did Canadian embassy staff receive briefings from John Stratton? On what dates did the Royal Canadian Air Force receive briefings from the U.S. National Intelligence Manager for Aviation on the issue of unidentified aerial phenomena? Number C, what are the details of other briefings received from the UAPTF, including for each the date, who gave the briefing, who was briefed? So he does this ministerial inquiry. You can see that he's gotten some inside information on briefings that were given, and he's basically saying to the government, spell out, give us the documents as to when these briefings took place and what these Canadian officials were briefed on. And you can see that in Twitter, some of the people picked this up and highlighted this fact that this ministerial inquiry demanding information had been put out there. Now here's when I went after those documents, and I've filed on a number of different aspects, the upcoming Canadian report, David Grush. I've filed on the briefings to the different ministers, to the ambassador, all that kind of stuff I filed on. And here's the one that has to do with the scientific investigation. Here's the reply that I got from the access to information people. In processing your request, we have found it necessary to undertake a consultation process. As a result, an extension of up to 150 days beyond the 30-day statutory deadline is required to complete your request. Please note that the new legislated due date is October the 11th, 2023. So in that one, I would have been going after the ministerial inquiry. I would have got the documents from that. I would have got the documents from McGuire's, all the stuff that deals with his letter to the Minister of National Defense. And you can see that this stuff is starting to leak out, but I should get it officially through Canadian government channels. Now, here's the office that they were talking about. The Defense Research and Development Canada Board. Now, it's described as Canada's science, technology, and innovation leader, trusted advisor, collaborative partner, and knowledge integrator for defense and security. As the Science and Technology Organization of the Department of National Defense, we develop and deliver new technical solutions and advice to Department of National Defense, the Canadian Armed Forces, and other federal departments and safety and security communities. We also work with the partners in academia, government, and industry, and with Canada's allies. Now, what this is in the United States is DARPA. It's the DARPA, and I'll talk about that. We were involved with them as well. So this is basically the weapons people inside the Department of Defense. This is the group that McGuire is giving a heads up. Since 1950, these guys have been working on crash saucer material. I just want to let you know, in case you didn't know this. Now, the thing with it was they have been involved since 1950. Their metallurgist guy working with Wilbert Smith actually talked to me. I had a number of interviews with him. I talked to him about what they were doing. And a lot of people will not realize that there was actually there was two studies done in Canada. One was Project Magnet, which was done for the Department of Transport, which Wilbur Smith worked for, and the other one was the Research Development Board for the Department of Defense, and that one was called Project Second Story. And that report, according to Wilbur Smith's wife, when I interviewed her after Wilbur died, she said that report from this defense agency actually sat on the prime minister's desk for 3 months. And then the decision was made between Wilbur and the prime minister that the time may not be right to release the report, and it was pulled back. But they actually did a report. It's a secret report. And all those documents we've got, they are sitting at the University of Ottawa. And this is going to haunt the Canadian government, because they're going to have to deal with all these former reports that were done. They're doing this thing right now. We're doing a Canadian government investigation. They're making it sound like it's some new investigation. We've never done an investigation. This is going to be a first time. There's piles of documents. This is the second investigation, and they have no choice but to talk about the first one. The other thing that I discovered in this whole process is that the Development Research Board also was involved with Wilbur Smith. This is an article from July the 1st, 1967, dealing with Paul Hellyer. This is the Centennial of Canada. One of the cities in Alberta puts a UFO landing base outside St. Paul, Alberta, and they bring in Paul Hellyer, who was then the Minister of Defense, to talk about opening this landing base. And Paul Hellyer gives a speech, which he told me later on, said, I didn't write the speech. I don't even remember giving the speech. But in the speech, he basically says, you know, this isn't the first landing base we've had. We actually had one in 1954 at Suffield, Alberta. Now, Suffield, Alberta is a Defense Research Board facility. It's like an Area 51 in Canada. It has a no-fly zone over it. And it's a very top-secret base in the middle of nowhere in Alberta. And they opened it up for a UFO to land. The alien that was going to land there, his name was AFA, Wilbur Smith was dealing with this alien, and what he said to the Canadian government was, if you stop trying to shoot this thing down, I will land AFA at Suffield, Alberta, and you can talk to him. And these negotiations went on with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Department of Defense, and the Prime Minister's office, and they agreed to allow it to land uninterfered. But they couldn't get 100% guarantee from the cabinet, from the Prime Minister's cabinet, that they would allow it to take off again. And Wilbur Smith basically said, okay, that's it. We're calling it off. Nobody's going to land. We're not going to allow it to land there. And the whole thing fell apart. So Paul Heller gives a speech. He says, we opened this thing to land and nothing landed. Therefore, UFOs don't exist. And this is was in all the newspapers. Here's the one from the Winnipeg Free Press. It basically talks about this top secret project strikes out about trying to land a UFO at Suffield, Alberta. Now, we went after Paul Hellyer in 1970s. A researcher out of Ottawa and myself were going after him about, okay, so where did you get the information in 1967 to make this speech? How did you know that they opened the base for landing? And then we asked for the files. The Canadian government said, oh, we don't have any files. And they said, oh, we destroyed the files. And we really don't know anything about it. And so this story, other than the 1967 articles, so we were asking Hellyer, like, where are the documents? Where did you get this from? And he actually said that he had gotten the material from a guy who was with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who later moved to the Department of Defense and became the UFO expert. And then he said to me, he said, well, I can't remember the guy's name. And there was two researchers. This was already in the 1970s. We were pushing Hellyer to tell us where he got this information about the UFO landing base. And that's when Hellyer said he couldn't remember the guy's name, at which point I said, well, I don't really believe that. How can you possibly forget the top official in the Department of Defense on UFOs? And then he said he was looking for the files. He was going to get his files to see if there was a huge UFO file that this guy had left. And he went to the archives and or the people, he made a request to the archives for his files when he was in the government. And they could not find the UFO file. So that's where the story sort of ended. But you can see this Defense Research Board that they're talking about now, that's all being hyped in the United States as being a Canadian organization that dealt with UFO hardware. I've been telling that story, and other people have been telling that story for 30 years. Just nobody listened to us. We know the pieces. We know what they handled. AWL Bridge here was the guy who was the metallurgist who was working on Russian nose cones and stuff like that. He was the expert. He actually told me, he said, I wish I'd never gotten involved with it. It totally ruined my career. I was never got a promotion after I got involved with Wilbur Smith, but he was there, and he was from this agency, and said to me they were handling piles of material. Now, here again, I referred to this in the first session. In the documents that we've got documents from the Department of Transport, and we've got this document is a little piece out of the document for the embassy. So Wilbur Smith was going through the American embassy in Washington, and the material was being relayed from the Americans into the embassy and then to Canada and vice versa. And here you see a reference to Mr. Wright, Defense Research Board liaison officer at the Canadian Embassy in Washington. So he again is with this Defense Research Board, the same agency that's being hyped in the United States about the hardware in Canada. And he's the liaison to what was called the Joint Research and Development Board, which later went into contractors. So the research for the military was done by contractors, but some of the research was done by DARPA. So he was basically the liaison to the American research and development on weapons. And that was extremely important because they realized that they could have this board that would develop weapons as they had done in World War II. They developed the proximity fuse and the atomic bomb and plastic explosives and jet engines. And they realized this was wonderful stuff. So they built based these boards, DARPA and stuff, to be on the very leading edge to develop weapons and stuff like that. So Wright was the Canadian liaison from the Research and Development Board down into the DARPA agency and the Research and Development Joint Research and Development Board. And you can see that he this liaison wanted Wilbur Smith to get in contact with Dr. Salant. Well, Dr. Salant was the head of the Defense Research Board. This is the agency that they're now promoting, is that the Canadian agency was dealing with crash saucer material. Dr. Salant was running it. He's in the top secret memo that I mentioned in part one, where the Canadian said UFOs exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States. Dr. Salant is mentioned in that document. So this was all going through the Defense Research Board, all this UFO material from Wilbur Smith. And here's another one where Wilbur Smith is talking to the embassy and discussions of this Research and Development Board. I discussed this matter fully, UFO matter, what he had discussed in the States. He went to States, he got all this material, he came back, he said, I discussed this matter fully with Dr. Salant, chairman of the Defense Research Board, on November 20th, and placed before him as much information on UFOs or flying saucers as I have been able to gather to date. Dr. Salant agreed that work on the geomagnetic energy should go forward as rapidly as possible and offered full cooperation of his board in providing laboratory facilities, acquisition of necessary items of equipment, and specialized personnel for incidental work on the project. I indicated to Dr. Salant that we would prefer to keep the project within the Department of Transport for the time being until we have obtained sufficient information to permit a full assessment and the value of the work. What they're talking about is Wilbur Smith had a propulsion theory for flying saucers and had to do with the magnetic field of the Earth. So all that material was being put through to Dr. Salant, and Dr. Salant agreed to this UFO program, that they would try to develop this UFO technology and that they would keep it to themselves until they could assess the value of the work. In the UFO document, again, you see the top secret memo. And remember, this is a top secret memo that's been declassified. This is not a fake document or anything. The Canadian government has it in their files. It was declassified by them. It was top secret in 1950. And here's Wilbur Smith talking about crash saucer material in the document. Scully, it's Frank Scully, and he wrote a book about the crash in 1948. Scully claimed that the preliminary studies of one saucer, which fell into the hands of the United States government, indicated that they observed on some hitherto unknown magnetic principles. It appears to me that our work on geomagnetics might well be the linkage between our technology and this technology of the aliens by which the saucers are designed and operated. It seems that our geomagnetic investigations are in the right direction. The theory of operation of the saucers becomes quite straightforward with all the observed features explained quantitatively and qualitatively. Now, this is the thing. This is in a top secret memo to the Department of Transport, approved through the head of the Defense Research Board. So the Canadians were on board with this flying saucer investigation on propulsion. And that's where Wilbur made this statement that Stanton Friedman and I have been making since 1979. The Canadians already did a UFO investigation in 1950. And what they concluded, I made discreet inquiries to the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C., who were able to obtain for me the following information. The matter is the most highly classified subject in the United States government, rated even higher than the H-bomb. Flying saucers exist. Their modus operandi is unknown, but concentrated effort is being made by a small group headed by Dr. Vannevar Bush. Game, set, match. The Canadians knew flying saucers were for real. It's in a top secret memo, which is in the Canadian government files. And now Mona Nemmer, who's the science advisor to the Prime Minister, is doing this report, and she's stuck with this. She, unless she's going to play some sort of a game of lying or play some sort of game like the dog ate the documents. These documents are public record. We've got all sorts of them, the embassy documents. We've got the drafts. We've got the top secret memo. We have all the analysis of the hardware. We have it. All this material is in files at the University of Ottawa, where Mona Nemmer was the head of research. She just didn't realize, when she took on this study, that there was a former study that had already made these conclusions. And now she has to bring it up and is stuck trying to justify how we're going to do another study when one study has already been done. So here, I mentioned this thing where Research and Development Board in the United States became contractors and DARPA. And one of the people that we dealt with was Dr. Eric Walker, who is the executive secretary of the Research and Development Board in the United States in 1950. We contacted him about a crash and about briefings were done at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and he confirmed that he was involved. So he was there, and he was also the chairman of the board of the Institute for Defense Analysis. And the Institute of Defense Analysis incorporated as a nonprofit organization in 1958 at the request of the Secretary of Defense. The IDA established a division to support newly created Advanced Research Projects Agency, later renamed the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. So Dr. Eric Walker was the chairman of the board of the IDA when they formed the DARPA organization. We talked to him extensively about UFOs. He played rhymes and riddles, basically told him it was none of our business. It was just straight curiosity. We should go do something else. We're never going to get the secret. And you can see the Canadians have had tie-ins with all this material right from the word go. And we know who all the players are, and we know how it all fits together. This is one of the things that he told us in 1987, one of the first interviews where he talked about UFOs. He said, after all, 40 years have gone by and nobody has blown up the world. As I say, it is none of your business just to satisfy your curiosity. It is not going to do any damn good except to make you happy. Is it not true? Are we going to change the rules and the regulations just to make you happy? If you say that you are looking for the truth, you will never get it anyway. So forget it. Why should we even bother to spend time and money just to make you happy? Answer me that. He was 80 years old at the time, and he was being encouraged by researchers in Canada and around the world to give it up. You've got a chance to disclose and tell us what's going on. And he basically truly said, it's just curiosity for most people. They've got rules and regulations about what they're trying to develop technology from this, and they really don't give a damn what the people are curious about. That's not their problem. They've got a job to do. Here's the original interview that was done with him in 1987, where he basically confirms again that the crash saucer stuff is real. And this again comes through the Wilbur Smith work. All we did was follow Wilbur Smith and try to find out who told him in the United States that it was the most highly classified subject. Who told him that flying saucers existed? And there was a guy by the name of Robert Sarbacher, who we found out had given some of the material to the Canadian embassy. And he's the guy that identified Walker. He said, this guy knows everything. He's really arrogant. He knows, but he had a company like me. He's in Pennsylvania. He was tracked down. So here, let me read you the first part of the interview that was done with him. Bill Steinman, who later pulled out of UFOs, made the initial call. He said, hello, this is William Steinman of Los Angeles, California. I'm calling about the meetings that you attended at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in around 1949, 1950, concerning the military recovery of a flying saucer and the bodies of occupants. Dr. Robert Sarbacher, now deceased, related this to me. You and Sarbacher were both consultants with the Defense Research Board in 1950. You were the secretary in 1950, 1951. And Walker says a stunning reply. He says, yes, I attended the meeting concerning that subject matter. Why do you want to know about that? And Steinman says, I believe it is a very important subject. After all, we are talking about the actual recovery of a flying saucer and not built and constructed on Earth. Furthermore, we are talking about the bodies of the occupants from the craft who are analyzed to be human-like and not of this world. Walker replied, so what's there to get all excited about? Why all the concern? And Steinman says, I'm not excited. I'm just very concerned. We are talking about this subject that the United States government officially denies, even though the extent of actually debunking the evidence and discrediting the witnesses. Then you sit there and say, what's there to get all excited about? Why all the concern? Dr. Vannevar Bush, Dr. Bronk, and others thought it was very important and were concerned enough to classify the subject above top secret. In fact, the most highly classified subject in the United States government. Did you ever hear of MJ-12? The MJ-12 group and their project Majestic 12, which was which classified as top secret magic. I have a copy of a presidential briefing given on that subject, dated November the 18th, 1952. And then Walker says, I know of MJ-12. This is the control group that controls the whole thing. Yes, I know of MJ-12. I have known of them for 40 years. I believe you are chasing after and fighting with windmills. Basically, you're wasting your time. Now, this is all detailed in a book I wrote called UFOs, Area 51, and Government Informants. It can be found on a site, a Weebly site we have. It's all connected, one word. And we detail all the discussions we had with Dr. Eric Walker. We didn't sanitize any conversations. We put everything, and he basically, over 8 years, basically gave us lots of pieces of the puzzle. And again, told us this is a waste of time. You're never going to get the answer unless you have the mind of Einstein. You're not going anywhere with this thing. Now, the Canadian government has now taken a different attitude. Gone from describing the fact that they knew this was all for real. They've been told by the Americans. This is a reply that they gave to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation when the UFO story broke in 2017 about the fact that the U.S. government had actually done UFO investigations. They went to the Canadian military, and this is the reply they got. While we understand your interest in the subject of UFOs, we are not able to provide an interview as your request is outside the scope of our operations. The Canadian Armed Forces focuses on credible threats. We do not comment nor facilitate interviews on speculative matters such as this. So it's this total denial, laugh, 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 make a big joke out of it. And yet you have McGuire now alerting the Minister of National Defense, who has now been briefed on UFOs, UAPs, and telling him, oh, by the way, did you realize that an agency inside the Department of National Defense in Canada was dealing with UFO hardware? And he didn't say we got the records, but we do have the records, and they're going to have to answer for this. Now, this is a document here. This is dealing with the briefing that was done for the Minister of National Defense. Sajing was the minister. And this is all the correspondence, which you find this very interesting correspondence in the background. So in this correspondence, one of the people, George Young, who was working on trying to get this briefing material, wrote, anticipating this, I believe it prudent to request a full briefing for the minister, Sajing, from the Canadian perspective on this issue, the UFO issue. That is to say, a report on any and all research that has been done by the Canadian Armed Forces, Department of National Defense, any sightings that have been reported in recent years, any historical information that may be on file, interfaces with other governments on the issue, and any other related information that might be pertinent. In other words, use the broadest possible lens to inform us of any Canadian angle on this issue. Now, they did the briefing. We've got the PowerPoint briefing slides. The one thing that they left out is what he says, any historical information that may be on file. And that's what I'm keep hammering away at here. We've got the historical information. Flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States. We've got hardware. We're working on the hardware. It's all in the Canadian government files, which are at the University of Ottawa. And they're free to review. And in this Canadian government report that is supposed to be coming out from the science advisor in the spring of next year, she is going to have to deal with this, or I don't know how she's going to avoid it, but this is part of what she has to talk about, is this history that the Canadians have already done an investigation and the answers are already there. This thing's for real, and the Canadians have known it since 1950. Now, here's some of the letters I requested. We have letters from Larry McGuire, who's the MP that's getting this thing going, and I give Larry McGuire full credit. He's done more to move this issue than probably anybody in the UFO field, and he's just a single guy. He's never had a sighting, just got interested. He writes letters to the science advisor to the Prime Minister, Mona Nimmer, and she writes back. Now, I've requested those letters, but again, I'm waiting on this 150-day delay, but those letters have sort of circulated out, and I'll show you there. Here's the Chief Science Advisor of Canada. So she's responsible directly to the Prime Minister. She's like the science advisor to the President of the United States. And before becoming science advisor, she was professor and vice president of research at the University of Ottawa and director of the school's Molecular Genetics and Cardiac Regeneration Laboratory. So she's the head of research. She was at the same university where these files are. Now, the files are quite extensive, Wilbur Smith's files. They were saved after he died. His wife told me that Wilbur, when he died, said, you make sure the files, don't give them to anybody. They're going to come and try to get the files. And she told me to my face, she said, as soon as Wilbur died, the Canadians came, the Russians came, and the Americans came, and they all asked for his files for research purposes. And she said she had destroyed them, she had burned them. And she said that's when the break-in started at the house. And she had moved the files to her son's place, James Smith. They were hiding the files there. And she said it was quite evident they were looking for the files. They didn't take anything. The house had been broken into, but nothing had been taken. And they were trying to find the files. So they kept the files hidden. And now they're at the University of Ottawa, and they're going to come back to haunt the Canadian government. Now, here's the files. They're in series S1. Anybody can go to the University of Ottawa. Project Magnet, that was the Department of Transport study. You can see the subsection there. Project Second Story is the research, the Defense Research Board, the one that's this recent letter that George Knapp has talked about. That's the study that they had, Project Second Story. Wilbur was involved in that. And you can see research settings. There's thousands of pages of material, correspondence with all the contactees of the day, correspondence with researchers. It's an extensive collection, and a lot of audio tapes of Wilbur talking and talking about nuclear weapons and the danger of nuclear weapons and what the beings are telling us about nuclear weapons, because that's the other part of the story that's going to come back to haunt the Canadian government, is that Wilbur Smith was a contactee. He was dealing with two aliens. One was by the name of Alpha, and one was the name of Tyla, and he was dealing with the CIA on this. And Navy intelligence was involved with this alien, and they channeled the alien in 1956 at a CIA building. And this is a very extensive story that is all hopefully going to come unraveling as the Canadians have to report on Canadian government investigations. This is a book that was written by Wilbur. There's only a few copies. I've got three copies, but this is a very, very rare book. I think they only copied a couple hundred pages. A couple hundred pages was done in 1964 by his wife and his son. It's not even finished. This is Wilbur Smith. And in the very beginning, he says, assembled by Wilbert Brockhaus Smith from data obtained from beings more advanced than we are. And it's a channeled book. He basically was given this material. How does the universe work? How do electrons work? And the book was actually not finished. He died before the book was finished. But that book was put out. And that's the other haunting part of the story, is that the guy who ran the Canadian government investigation was actually having contact, radio contact, and telepathic contact with these beings who were giving him instructions. So here's the letter from Larry McGuire. And this is, you'll see now the big play up is the letter from Larry McGuire to the Department of Defense. But again, I say that's because it has this metal thing, and it's all exciting, and it's military and stuff. The main letter that people should be looking at is the letter from Larry McGuire, the MP, to the science advisor, where he talks about the scientific study. That is the main thing that the Canadians want. That's why when we had the negotiations to do this panel, the Americans pulled out. They didn't want, they weren't interested in the scientific investigation thing. They wanted this the same profile that had been used, interference of airspace, bring in military witnesses. This is a threat. We need money. We need an investigation. This is, you know, a serious national security issue. The Canadians, that was not the focus. The focus was science. So here's the letter from the MP to the science advisor. And basically, he's basically asking for a scientific investigation. And at the end, it's a three-page letter. And at the end, I give some indications of the things that he wanted spelled out here. Here's the letter going back from her to him. She agrees to do the study. And that's, I guess, sort of when her world sort of ended. Because I don't think she realized all these files were there. She agreed to do the study and went on the record that she was going to do the study. But this is the study that's being done. It's called Sky Canada Project. And UAP observations by Canadians. And it's to come out in the fall of next year. Or no, the spring of next year. Here's what McGuire says in the letter. I asked for the documents, and I'm waiting. That's myself. I'm waiting for these documents to come out. But here's what he says in the letter, which is not really out there yet. Collaboration in these issues, talking about UAP issues, should no longer be delayed. The government of Canada and parliamentarians who represent those want answers. We must be equipped with the most accurate information. So he's saying to her, we're the people who represent the government, people who represent the people. We are elected by the people, and we need the best and most accurate information. You, the onus is on you with the Prime Minister's office to provide us the best information you can provide us on UAPs, because we're the ones that have to tell the people what's going on. We represent the people, and we deserve the correct information. The Canadians insisted that the UAP investigation be scientific. That was what the Americans called the poison pill when they pulled out. When the insistence was made that no, this wouldn't, there was no military witnesses, we couldn't go that route. They didn't understand how the Canadian government worked in terms of the opposition party can't host their own hearings and stuff like that. And so they pulled out when it was made clear that it was going to go through the science advisor to the prime minister, and there would be a report. They wanted a report done on science. The government needs a scientific plan. This is what Larry McGuire is saying. The government needs a scientific plan to implement a whole of government approach on how to analyze that data with the intent of determining the origin and intent of UAPs. And then the other one, he says, again, is the scientific study of UAP. It will take someone of your status, he's talking to the science advisor, and position to start asking the uncomfortable questions. This must be science-led study and should include those outside the government of Canada who have subject matter expertise to assist. So this is the bottom line. The Canadians want this investigation done by the science advisor, and she has agreed to do it. And now we're waiting as they gather material, and this study will be public. There'll be no classified parts as far as I know. And yet they didn't really anticipate the fact that they didn't know about all these documents that have been there. Now, this has got to do with the meeting. This is the meeting that fell apart with the Americans. I want to sort of put this on the record because there's all sorts of stuff floating around, which I don't think is really true. Here's what the spokesman for this group said, the American group said. We were approached by Mr. Cameron. Well, he was not approached. The spokesman was not even involved when this thing first started. He appeared down the road. I approached Lou Elizondo. I didn't approach him. We were approached by Mr. Cameron to assist with an official and non-monetized, unaffiliated, unclassified briefing between retired and honorably discharged American witnesses and the Canadian Parliament. And that is not true. It was not a briefing. I'm smart enough, I've done government documents long enough to know that this was not going to be a briefing. It was going to be a citizens hearing type event where it was total. A briefing is when a briefing officer walks into an official and gets them to sign papers and says, this is a classified briefing and it's done in a skiff. This was not a briefing. This was just experts on UFOs were going to answer questions by 10 members of parliament in Canada who had suddenly were ready to come forward and say they're interested in this subject and wanted to ask questions. This is the original letter that I wrote. It detailed what I wanted. And what I asked for was not honorably discharged American witnesses. This is this spin on the American military thing. I'm always trying to move it back to the American military. I did not ask for discharged American witnesses, military people. I asked for experts on UFOs. So one was Gary Nolan. Gary Nolan is not military. Help put off was requested, and he said he would help. He wouldn't do testimony. He's not a military witness. Abby Loeb is not a military witness. We were asking for experts. Lou Elizondo was a military witness, and Cahill would have been a military witness if he had testified, but that was not what we were asking for. We were asking for witnesses to sit at a panel and answer questions publicly in front of everybody in the world from 10 MPs in Canada who were suddenly interested in UFOs. Here's what in my initial letter that I put out, I am proposing a Canadian hearing that would involve Canadian politicians, but would be non-political. I am not aware that the government or any government political party that has any official position on UFOs or UAPs. Therefore, the idea is put forward that the Canadian panel consists of members of the Canadian politicians, but but the questions and answers they put forward would be simply their own ideas. So this wouldn't be a political thing, your party versus my party. It's just some politician in whatever party's in has got a question, and they've got their own ideas about what's going on, and they can ask questions. In fact, I said some of the members of parliament who would be asking questions may not even have a position on UAPs. The idea for the Canadian UAP UFO hearing would be based on the 2013 Citizens Hearing, which was held in Washington, D.C. In that event, five retired congressmen and one retired senators formed a panel that held a mock hearing on UFOs, UAPs. Many of these retired politicians had no set beliefs on UFOs. 40 top researchers and UFO, UAP witnesses appeared before the panel to present evidence and answer questions. The panel would consist of three politicians, hopefully one from each political party. It turned out McGuire indicated there may be as many as 10 that were interested in being involved in this panel. The witnesses would consist of 3 to 4 witnesses. And I've mentioned some of the witnesses. They were the best witnesses we could get on the various aspects that could provide answers on as experts to the Canadian parliamentary people. I had one from the military, one from intelligence, and one representing the UAP nuclear weapons issue. That's where we brought in Robert Hastings. He couldn't do it, but he did provide us with a written briefing paper for the Canadian parliamentary people. As in the 2013 citizens hearing, each witness would present 10 minutes of UFO evidence related to their expertise or field. Then they would take questions from the panel. This would hopefully provide needed information on the UFO UAP mystery and disclosure issues for the Canadian audience and those around the world. This is what the other thing the spokesman said. The other attempts to turn this into a spectacle were met with the united no thank you on our part. This is the Americans. The other attempts to turn this into a spectacle were met with the united no thank you on our part. Absolutely, it was going to be a spectacle, as big a spectacle as we could make it. We're not going to do it as skiff. We're not going to do it classified. We're not going to do non-disclosure agreements. Let's keep this secret. The idea was that anybody, we had a whole list of 50 people that we would allow them to live broadcast. Anybody could put it on their YouTube channel. It would be live broadcast around the world on multiple channels. 10 MPs from Canada coming forward and asking questions of witnesses. You damn right it was going to be a spectacle. We were going to make it as big as we had. And they didn't want this. It was like we're going to do another classified briefing and do it secretly in the back room. We offered to impart a roadmap of professionalism. It took us to achieve open hearings. Well, their hearings aren't open. The hearings are in the United States are not open hearings. They're done in skiffs. There's witnesses are not even allowed to say who interviewed them, what the questions were. They're under a non-disclosure agreement. They can't talk about it. They're not open hearings. We wanted actual open hearings because what had happened is McGuire had met, he and his defense critic had met with Lou Elizondo, they met with Mellon, and they met with Putoff, and they'd gotten material. And the idea I put through McGuire's assistant was, okay, you did it, and you guys were all impressed with the answers you got from them. Let's do it this time. Let's do it in public. And they said, hey, that would be a good idea. We were actually thinking about that. So they agreed with that, was to make this open, that instead of just talking to Lou Elizondo and getting information from one MP, we'd get all the MPs and all the witnesses, and we'd make it public so everybody could watch the whole thing. No classified, no secrecy, nothing. Just all the hearings, a public disclosure, the way everybody wants it to be done. And so the spokesman says, we offered to impart the roadmap, and the roadmap they used was to get the military witnesses to say it's interfering with national security. It's a potential national security threat. We need money. We need investigations, and go through the Armed Services Committee, go through an intelligence committee, not go through the scientific committee, go where the money is for the weapons and get a budget and then start researching that way. And that was the way they used it. It was this military threat. And the UFOs are a threat, a potential national security issue. That was not what we were going to do. And because we kept insisting that it was scientific, this is what the spokesman said. We were told that was not the goal. We peeled off. So our goal was not to do this military thing. The goal was straightforward, that McGuire had talked to the science advisor to the prime minister. The science was going to be watching this panel that we were going to do. It would provide cover for her to do this study on UFOs. That was the plan. It was all planned beforehand. And that was always the plan, was to get it to the science thing and to do a scientific investigation. And as you showed you in the letter up above, That's what he wrote. We need this done scientifically. We need the proper information. We're the MPs that represent the people. We're elected by the people. We need the best information. So the dispute was over a scientific investigation. As soon as they heard, this is the famous statement that was made. As soon as they got the idea that we couldn't do the panel thing, they didn't have money. They couldn't, opposition members, they couldn't host hearings and stuff like that, that they wanted a scientific investigation. The word was, that's the poison pill. One of them said, I'm gone. And the whole thing just fell apart. They had the issue of secrecy. We didn't want any secrecy whatsoever. No skiffs, no backdoor deals, nothing. We wanted this all up in the open. That was my thing. I can't speak on behalf of the Canadian government. I was the one that sort of started to set it up. And the other also fell apart because we were totally unable to explain to these people how the Canadian parliamentary system worked. They had no idea how it worked. And we kept explaining. We don't have the budget for panels. This is the opposition member. That's not how committees work here. It's all run by the government. There's not three branches of government like there's in the United States. And it was like talking to a wall. We just could not get, I could not get across to them. And there was the frustration there. And this whole thing about military witnesses, I only had one military witness that I knew of. And that was a guy in 1959 who was a NORAD officer who scrambled jets at Comox, BC. They were outside at the Air Force base sitting on the end of the runway. And he said, as soon as he scrambled the jets, instantly they moved 50 miles down the coast of California. And that was the only witness he had. He was dead. We had no witnesses to bring up. We didn't want to do that sort of thing. And then he says, please pardon the use of the word spectacle. We didn't kill a movement. We declined an optic that would cause us to take a step back in the United States. If we make it look right for all of us, we can achieve anything. Lou and I have canceled far more than we have agreed to get the permanent unsupervised procedural programs that will last in increasing transparency. Well, they have no transparency down there at all. It's all still in skiffs. It's a hard thing to impart that anyone, that everybody wants to show in a public forum. It's hard. It's a hard thing to impart that what everybody wants to show in a public forum is at least 2 to 3 years ahead in the official process. The process is already in place for the 5i partners. Now, you've seen this in the latest discussions in the United States about the fact that the 5i's, United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, the United States, and Canada, this intelligence thing that they're discussing. This was discussed already back last year. We were told the process is in place with the 5i partners. And then we heard that Trudeau had been contacted on this. And then this stunning statement, Canada, UK, Australia, and New Zealand have no interest in leading national disclosure. I could go on, but it's academic at that point. That's the reality. Well, just to differ, the Canadian government is very much into leading national disclosure. That's the whole idea behind the scientific investigation and an open report. This is not going to be a classified report. It's going to be an open report to the public from the Prime Minister's science advisor. And then this last thing that they gave us, which was kind of stunning, that Great Britain didn't waste a second when they found out the Canadians balked at hearings. The Canadians did not balk at hearings. The Canadians proposed a panel of 4 experts and MPs asking questions. There was nothing about hearings. So they, and we couldn't do the hearings. That was, we pointed out to them. If you're in the opposition party, you have no power to have a hearing. You're in the opposition party. And we don't drag in people. And if you're running the government, then you can have any hearings you want. But if you're in the opposition, you can't. We could not convince them that these guys were unable to hold hearings, and we didn't balk at the hearings. So they said, we'd like your focus. You're not getting ghosted. Don't worry. So this stuff went back. This is just a letter from this 1954 UFO landing base. It should have been up at top. Here's the report. So here's what's going to happen next year. This is the timeline for the Sky Canada project, which is this official report from the science advisor, scientific report. November 2022 started the project. That was right after we had the meeting in August. And then they started writing the letters, and she gave the approval. At the time of the August thing, she hadn't approved to do the project. So in November, she approves and she agrees to do the scientific investigation on UFOs for the Prime Minister, the government of the official government. So then they are collecting information through 2023. The draft report for internal discussion is supposed to be done this fall, and winter, spring 2024, this is the key words, final report made public. And I sort of feel sorry for her that she didn't realize that that the Canadians have already done a report, and that the Canadian government is actually on record with actual documents, not stories told by people that are whistleblowers. These are actual documents. We've got all the documents. They're there. She's 1 mile away. And so I Desta, you are from Winnipeg, and so am I from Winnipeg, and the biggest band ever to come out of Winnipeg, it just hit me this morning. I said, I should put this at the end. We can't put the song in, but we can put the lyrics to the song. It fits perfectly. Randy Bachman, who was one of the members of the Guess Who, one of the biggest bands, or the biggest band ever to come out of Canada, and actually were outselling the Beatles in the 1960s and 70s when the Beatles were at their prime in Canada. They were outselling, was a huge band, and they have a song called She's Come Undone, which sort of sets the situation for the science advisor for Canada. She didn't know what she was headed for. And when she found out what she was headed for, it was too late. She's come undone. She's found a mountain that was far too high. And when she found out she couldn't fly, it was too late. It's too late. She's gone too far. She's lost the sun. She's come undone. She wants the truth, but all she got was lies. It's come time to realize it was too late. She's come undone. She didn't know what she was headed for. And when she found out what she's headed for, Mama, it's too late. It's too late. She's gone too far. And that's I feel very sorry for the science advisor. She's going to have to explain, unless she goes public and says, yes, the Canadians had this report. This is what they say. We may disagree with it now. But she has to answer for all this material that was done back in the 1950s when the Canadians came to the conclusion, were told by American officials, put it in a top secret memo. Flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States, and also made public the fact that they were working on UFO hardware. So that's the end of the presentation, Desta. And if you've got any questions or something that didn't make any sense to you, we can clear this up. Otherwise, I'm done.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space. And thank you so much for listening.